It's Plant Talk Day. Fastest hour in the history of showbiz.
Well, let's hope so. Let's keep it busy.
I've decided now that I just don't think I can get flowers to stay alive through the entire summer. I've had so much luck and they've been so beautiful and everything. I've been so proud. I've even taken photos of them. And in like the last couple of weeks, my geraniums, they just look blah.
Well, there should be some on sale. I would think some of the nurseries and stuff probably really marked them down. Maybe you want to go get a replacement bunch.
No, I'm not. I'm never going to grow flowers again.
Oh, okay.
No, well, I'm never going to do it.
Okay. We'll see next spring.
Is this normal for my impatience?
No. It shouldn't be.
Impatiens grow anywhere. They're a weed. I mean, you have to take efforts to kill impatiens. What did you do? Did you get up at night and loosen the roots or something so you didn't have to water them tomorrow?
Oh, and I watered them too.
With your lawn and garden questions for Dave Decock, and why don't we just go right to tomatoes? I know people are getting them. That black spot, the blossom end rot, what's the skinny on that again?
Okay, what that is that's basically due to fluctuation of soil moisture. And it's much more common in pots because it's hard with tomatoes growing in pots to keep them fairly uniformly moist. You know, if you're watering them good and you're gone for a long weekend and you come back, of course, they're pretty darn dry. And it's things like that that cause blossom end rot to develop. It starts on the bottom side of the fruit. It's a black spot. As the fruit matures, this black spot gets bigger. By the time the fruit is starting to turn red, just about everything is black. So once you have blossom end rot on a fruit, best thing to do is take the fruit off, just throw it away, get rid of it. Let the other fruit that's on that doesn't have a problem continue to develop. There's no use having the tomato plant put energy into a fruit that's got blossom end rot because you're just never going to get anything out of it. It'll be rotten by the time it gets ripe.
Speaking of tomatoes, this is just an observation. When I was visiting some friends a couple of weekends ago, they'd made some salsa, and part of the ingredients for their salsa, which was the best I've ever had, were green tomatoes.
Right.
They chopped up green tomatoes very finely and included that in the salsa.
Right.
And I said, what is that flavor? And they told me, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned tomato blight.
Right.
And what do we do for that?
Tomato blight is a disease that attacks tomato plants. It causes spots to develop on the leaves. It'll start on the bottom leaves first. You'll get these little spots on the leaves. Then the leaves will turn yellow and fall off, and it gradually works its way up the plant. The good thing about it, of course, it starts on the bottom leaves, and they're probably the least important leaves on the plant itself. So when you see it on the bottom leaves, then you need to get some... there's orthofungicides, there's other fungicides you can use that are going to prevent the disease from spreading to the upper leaves. So once you start to see it in the bottom leaves, then you need to do something. Things you can do to prevent it from having is when you plant your tomato plants, plant them far enough apart so you get good air movement. If you're going to water early morning so the leaves dry off right away. If we get a year with a lot of rainy, overcast, humid weather, then, of course, tomato blight is rampant, whereas this year, I haven't seen any on mine. There may be some tomato blight out there. I haven't seen any on mine yet.
One of the questions I wanted to ask about, because people might be getting their potatoes up. In fact, our buddy, a Trooper Dave, has potatoes growing like crazy.
Right.
And one thing I noticed when I grew potatoes in my garden plot in town, where there's not a lot of potatoes.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like I'm on a farm. I'm growing a row of potatoes, and all of a sudden, potato beetles showed up.
Right.
Where do they come from? Are they laid dormant in the ground until they smell it, or do they fly over in swarms
They must move in. I don't think there's any way that they would lay dormant in the soil.
I know there wasn't another potato plot within 3 blocks of my place, and there they were.
I know.
So
I had the same problem when I tried potatoes, and I found that it's just not worth doing it because potatoes, by the time your potatoes are ripe, they almost give them away in the store, so it's hardly worth growing the things. You're much better off to put tomatoes or peppers or something like that in there that's going to produce, and you're not going to have problems with the potato bugs because they're a nuisance.
And since I grew such a relative few number of potatoes, I found that I was able to just pick them off. In fact, I think you suggested that, but if somebody's got an acre garden going and a couple of rows of potatoes, what do you do?
Well, then there are insecticides you can use. There are insecticides which the potato growers use, probably things which a typical homeowner cannot get. So that's how they control the potato bugs on the potato growers' control of potato bugs. But for a homeowner, as kids, that used to be one of our jobs. We'd go out every day with a quart jar and just pick all the potato bugs off. Mm-hmm. And it was just about a daily job.
Dad, you know, paid you a nickel each?
No, we didn't get paid at all. Just had to go pick them off. Yeah, I'm old enough, so I was in the days that you just had to do it. You didn't get paid.
Well, as long as I broached the subject a moment ago, and we have a caller coming in, let's go back to that quack grass issue.
Sure.
What do we do with that? And which is the quack grass?
Well, quack grass is kind of a bluish green grass. When it comes up in the lawn, it's fairly sparse. It's fairly rapid growing. It's a perennial grass, so it's just like lawn grass. There's really no way to control the quack grass without controlling the lawn grass at the same time. So if you got a lot of quack grass and you want to get rid of it, you almost have to spray the lawn in that area with Roundup. Let it go for a while. Make sure that some of the quack grass doesn't come back. And when you're sure all the quack grass is dead, then of course you can work the soil a little and plant grass back in. But there really is no herbicide available that'll take the quack grass out without.
Would now be a good time to do that at this point in the summer?
Not really, because it's fairly dry. And weed control when it's dry just doesn't work. The weeds need to be vigorously growing to be affected by herbicides. So right now, with that, things are fairly dry. Using herbicides on the lawns for weeds, it's just not very effective. You're better off to wait until maybe we get past Labor Day, we start to get some more rain, things get growing vigorously, and then you can go ahead and spray and you'll be a lot more effective.
We have a caller standing by. Lois, good morning. You're on Plant Talk on KFGO.
Good morning, Lois.
Good morning. I guess my question is similar to what he already answered. I have a lot of clover in my grass right now.
Right.
I have not fertilized or put any weed stuff
right.
on it at all.
Right.
I've got grandkids and dogs, and so I kind of
right.
hesitate to do it and try to pull it out and do that
right.
sort of thing. Is this a bad time to put it on? And if I put it on, do I like wet the grass first and put it on, or so it's fixed or something like that? You see people doing all kinds of things, you know?
Well, usually it's not a problem sticking on the leaves. For clover control, there's Ortho Weed Be Gone. Weed Be Gone will knock the clover down, but usually what will happen is you spray it with Weed Be Gone, the clover will look like it's gone, then a couple of weeks down the road, you start to see clover coming again. So the Weed Be Gone typically doesn't do a good job of controlling clover. There is a Ortho Weed Be Gone for hard-to-control weeds like poison ivy and some of those. That would work on your clover. But right now, unless we get a lot of moisture and the grass is vigorously growing and the clover is vigorously growing, the herbicides will not work very good in dry conditions. So I think I would wait until we start to get some fall rains.
Janelle, you're on with Dave. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Janelle.
Hi, Dave. I have a front lawn that the grass is thinning.
Okay.
And I read that the best time is in spring to reseed it.
Right.
But I also read that you could in the fall.
Right. Right. That's true. The fall, you want to do it in the fall, in September, probably right after Labor Day. Hopefully it'll be cooler. We'll get some more rain. It'll be easier to get the new grass seed going. But yes, early fall or early spring, either one would be good. If you want to try some this fall, you basically just take and rough the area up a little bit with a solid tooth rake, rake the seed in, and then just keep it moist till it comes up.
Thank you, Janelle. Sharon, you're next on KFGO with Dave.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I have a question about muir acid.
Sure.
When is the best time to put it on, and how often can you put it on your evergreens?
Oh, you could put it on every 2 weeks very easily. Basically, what it is, it's something you mix with water. You spray it on the foliage. It gets absorbed into the needles. And any time we get rain or whatever, if there is any on the needles, it gets washed off. So a person could certainly do it every couple of weeks. And you probably early morning would be the best time of the day to do it when you want to do it. But you could certainly do it every 2 weeks, and you're not going to put too much on.
Thanks, Sharon. Joy, you're next on KFGO with Dave.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. Yeah, Dave, I have been planting oriental lilies and Asiatic lilies. And then the following year, the Asiatic lilies come up, but
right.
not the Oriental.
Right. That's normal. That is normal.
Oh, it is.
An Oriental lily is basically not hardy enough for this area. If you can plant it in a spot where you get good snow cover, they might make it through the winter. The Asiatics, of course, are hardy enough for here. That's why they come back every year. But if you do want some Orientals, put them in an area where you know you're going to get good snow cover, and you may get them to come back year after year. But the Asiatic is much hardier. Hi, Arliss.
I have noticed yesterday aphids on my dill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What do I do about that?
How soon are you going to use the dill?
Well, I use it, you know, every day.
Oh, okay. Then I would take get your water hose. If you've got a spray nozzle, get the water hose and take the spray nozzle, put it on a fairly good solid spray, and just really wash the aphids off good. Because they're small enough, so the good solid stream of water should wash them off. You certainly don't want to use any kind of an insecticide if you're going to be using the dill fairly soon. So just use a good solid stream of water and just hose them off.
Hi, Orion. You're on with Dave DeCock.
Hi, Orion.
Hello. Dave, I've got some peonies. They've been in the ground probably 4 or 5 years. They're
right.
Full grown.
Yeah.
And they're developing a mold on the leaves.
Yeah, yeah, powdery mildew. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I can do for that?
Nothing you really need to do for it. I've noticed that last year we had a lot of it. This year we've got a fair amount of it. I don't have it on mine, but I've seen a lot of other people have it on theirs. The peonies will live with it. It's not going to be a major problem as far as them surviving. This fall, when you cut them back right to the ground, or maybe even just a little bit below the soil surface, get all those old leaves out of there, and hopefully next year they'll come out and they will be fine. Certainly not going to kill them.
It's Plant Talk Day, fastest hour in the history of showbiz.
Well, let's hope so. Let's keep it busy.
I've decided now that I just don't think I can get flowers to stay alive through the entire summer. I've had so much luck and they've been so beautiful and everything. I've been so proud. I've even taken photos of them. And in like the last couple of weeks, my geraniums, they just look blah.
Well, there should be some on sale. I would think some of the nurseries and stuff probably really marked them down. Maybe you want to go get a replacement bunch.
No, I'm not. I'm never going to grow flowers again.
Oh, okay.
No, well, I'm never going to do it.
Okay. We'll see next spring.
Is this normal for my impatience?
No,
it shouldn't be.
Impatiens grow anywhere. They're a weed. I mean, you have to take efforts to kill impatiens. What did you do? Did you get up at night and loosen the roots or something so you didn't have to water them tomorrow?
Oh, and I watered them too.
With your lawn and garden questions for Dave DeCock, and why don't we just go right to tomatoes? I know people are getting them. That black spot, the blossom end rot, what's the skinny on that again?
Okay, what that is that's basically due to fluctuation of soil moisture. And it's much more common in pots because it's hard with tomatoes grown in pots to keep them fairly uniformly moist. You know, if you're watering them good and you're gone for a long weekend and you come back, of course, they're pretty darn dry. And it's things like that that cause blossom end rot to develop. It starts on the bottom side of the fruit. It's a black spot. As the fruit matures, this black spot gets bigger. By the time the fruit is starting to turn red, just about everything is black. So once you have blossom end rot on a fruit, best thing to do is take the fruit off, just throw it away, get rid of it. Let the other fruit that's on that doesn't have a problem continue to develop. There's no use having the tomato plant put energy into a fruit that's got blossom end rot because you're just never going to get anything out of it. It'll be rotten by the time it gets ripe.
Speaking of tomatoes, this is just an observation. When I was visiting some friends a couple of weekends ago, they'd made some salsa, and part of the ingredients for their salsa, which was the best I've ever had, were green tomatoes.
Right.
They chopped up green tomatoes very finely and included that in the salsa.
Right.
And I said, what is that flavor? And they told me. I went, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned tomato blight.
Right.
And what do we do for that?
Tomato blight is a disease that attacks tomato plants. It causes spots to develop on the leaves. It'll start on the bottom leaves first. You'll get these little spots on the leaves. Then the leaves will turn yellow and fall off, and it gradually works its way up the plant. The good thing about it, of course, it starts on the bottom leaves, and they're probably the least important leaves on the plant itself. So when you see it on the bottom leaves, then you need to get some... There's orthofungicides, there's other fungicides you can use that are going to prevent the disease from spreading to the upper leaves. So once you start to see it in the bottom leaves, then you need to do something. Things you can do to prevent it from having is when you plant your tomato plants, plant them far enough apart so you get good air movement. If you're going to water early morning so the leaves dry off right away. If we get a year where a lot of rainy, overcast, humid weather, then, of course, tomato blight is rampant. Whereas this year, I haven't seen any on mine. There may be some tomato blight out there. I haven't seen any on mine yet.
One of the questions I wanted to ask about, because people might be getting their potatoes up. In fact, our buddy, a Trooper Dave, has potatoes growing like crazy.
Right.
And one thing I noticed when I grew potatoes in my garden plot in town, where there's not a lot of potatoes,
right,
You know, like, it's not like I'm on a farm. I'm growing a row of potatoes, and all of a sudden, potato beetles showed up. Right. Where do they come from? Are they laid dormant in the ground until they smell it, or do they fly over in swarms
They must move in. I don't think there's any way that they would lay dormant in the soil.
I know there wasn't another potato plot within 3 blocks of my place, and there they were.
I know.
So
I had the same problem when I tried potatoes, and I found that it's just not worth doing it because potatoes, by the time your potatoes are ripe, they almost give them away in the store, so it's hardly worth growing the things. You're much better off to put tomatoes or peppers or something like that in there that's going to produce, and you're not going to have problems with the potato bugs because they're a nuisance.
And since I grew such a relative few number of potatoes, I found that I was able to just pick them off. In fact, I think you suggested that, but if somebody's got an acre garden going and a couple of rows of potatoes, what do you do?
Well, then there are insecticides you can use. There are insecticides which the potato growers use, probably things which a typical homeowner cannot get. So that's how they control the potato bugs, and the potato growers control the potato bugs. But for a homeowner, as kids, that used to be one of our jobs. We'd go out every day with a quart jar and just pick all the potato bugs off. Mm-hmm. And it was just about a daily job.
Dad paid you a nickel each?
No, we didn't get paid at all. Just had to go pick them off. Yeah, I'm old enough, so I was in the days that you just had to do it. You didn't get paid.
Well, as long as I broached the subject a moment ago, and we have a caller coming in, let's go back to that quack grass issue.
Sure.
What do we do with that? And which is the quack grass?
Well, quack grass is kind of a bluish green grass. When it comes up in the lawn, it's fairly sparse. It's fairly rapid growing. It's a perennial grass, so it's just like lawn grass. There's really no way to control the quack grass without controlling the lawn grass at the same time. So if you got a lot of quack grass and you want to get rid of it, you almost have to spray the lawn in that area with Roundup. Let it go for a while and make sure that some of the quack grass doesn't come back. And when you're sure all the quack grass is dead, then of course you can work the soil a little and plant grass back in. But there really is no herbicide available that'll take the quack grass out without.
Would now be a good time to do that at this point in the summer?
Not really, because it's fairly dry. And weed control when it's dry just doesn't work. The weeds need to be vigorously growing to be affected by herbicides. So right now, things are fairly dry, using herbicides on the lawns for weeds, it's just not very effective. You're better off to wait until maybe we get past Labor Day, we start to get some more rain, things get growing vigorously, and then you can go ahead and spray and you'd be a lot more effective.
We have a caller standing by. Lois, good morning. You're on Plant Talk on KFGO.
Good morning, Lois.
Good morning. I guess my question is similar to what he already answered. I have a lot of clover in my grass right now.
Right.
I have not fertilized or put any weed stuff on it at all.
Right.
I've got grandkids and dogs, and so I kind of hesitate to do it and try to pull it out and do that sort of thing. Is this a bad time to put it on? And if I put it on, do I wet the grass first and put it on, or so it sticks or something like that? You see people doing all kinds of things, you know?
Well, usually it's not a problem sticking on the leaves. For clover control, there's Ortho Weed Be Gone. Weed Be Gone will knock the clover down, but usually what'll happen is you spray it with Weed Be Gone, the clover will look like it's gone, then a couple of weeks down the road, you start to see clover coming again. So the Weed Be Gone typically doesn't do a good job of controlling clover. There is a Ortho Weed Be Gone for hard-to-control weeds like poison ivy and some of those. That would work on your clover. But right now, unless we get a lot of moisture and the grass is vigorously growing and the clover is vigorously growing, the herbicides will not work very good in dry conditions. So I think I would wait until we start to get some fall rains.
Janelle, you're on with Dave. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Janelle.
Hi, Dave. I have a front lawn that grass is thinning.
Okay.
And I read that the best time is in spring to reseed it.
Right.
But also read that could in the fall.
Right. Right. That's true. The fall, you want to do it in the fall, in September, probably right after Labor Day. Hopefully it'll be cooler. We'll get some more rain. It'll be easier to get the new grass seed going. But yes, early fall or early spring, either one would be good. If you want to try some this fall, you basically just take and rough the area up a little bit with a sawtooth rake, rake the seed in, and then just keep it moist till it comes up.
Thank you, Janelle. Sharon, you're next on KFGO with Dave.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
I have an question about miraacid.
Sure.
When is the best time to put it on, and how often can you put it on your evergreens?
Oh, you could put it on every 2 weeks very easily. Basically, what it is, it's something you mix with water, you spray it on the foliage, it gets absorbed into the needles. And any time we get rain or whatever, if there is any on the needles, it gets washed off. So a person could certainly do it every couple of weeks. And you probably early morning would be the best time of the day to do it when you want to do it. But you could certainly do it every 2 weeks, and you're not going to put too much on.
Thanks, Sharon. Joy, you're next on KFGO with Dave.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. Yeah, Dave, I have been planting oriental lilies and Asiatic lilies. And then the following year, the Asiatic lilies come up, but
right.
Not the Oriental.
Right. That's normal. That is normal.
Oh, it is.
An Oriental lily is basically not hardy enough for this area. If you can plant it in a spot where you get good snow cover, they might make it through the winter. The Asiatics, of course, are hardy enough for here. That's why they come back every year. But if you do want some Orientals, put them in an area where you know you're going to get good snow cover, and you may get them to come back year after year. But the Asiatic is much hardier. Hi, Arliss.
I have noticed yesterday aphids on my dill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What do I do about that?
How soon are you going to use the dill?
Well, I use it, every day.
Oh, okay. Then I would take get your water hose. If you've got a spray nozzle, get the water hose and take the spray nozzle, put it on a fairly good solid spray, and just really wash the aphids off good. Because they're small enough, so the good solid stream of water should wash them off. You certainly don't want to use any kind of an insecticide if you're going to be using the dill fairly soon. So just use a good solid stream of water and just hose them off.
Hi, Orion. You're on with Dave DeCock.
Hi, Orion.
Hello. Dave, I've got some peonies. They've been in the ground probably 4 or 5 years. They're
right.
Full grown.
Yeah.
And they're developing a mold on the leaves.
Yeah, yeah. Powdery mildew. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I can do for that?
Nothing you really need to do for it. I've noticed that last year we had a lot of it. This year we've got a fair amount of it. I don't have it on mine, but I've seen a lot of other people have it on theirs. The peonies will live with it. It's not going to be a major problem as far as them surviving. This fall, when you cut them back right to the ground, or maybe even just a little bit below the soil surface, get all those old leaves out of there, and hopefully next year they'll come out and they will be fine. Certainly not going to kill them.